Good morning. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. Nice brisk autumn morning. My name is Jim Hansen. I'll be your church board representative today. We have quite a variety of announcements. Please look at the insert in the order of service. A lot of them are covered there. And a reminder that this will be out in the social hall for our sharing the ministry. There's a table set up out there to learn ways to get more involved with the church and committees and the goals of the committees. Also out there will be sign-up sheets for the annual Suic fruit and nut sale that starts today. You can return the completed forms by November 7th to either me or Jerry Flakus. This month's food pantry collection will be going to the Food Pantry of Waukesha County. Checks can be made out to LCUUC with food pantry in the memo line. And as I mentioned, it's in the insert, but our winter coat drive and personal care item collections are being held. For the latter, our children will be making up gift boxes for the homeless in December, so those are two good things. Starting this Saturday will be our monthly Socrates Cafe at the Milwaukee Street Traders in Delafield from 7 to 9. See Lynn or Phil Smith with any questions, and that, I believe, is in the announcements also. Right now we have a special announcement from our children, which they're going to give you.
Do you like to read?
Sure, I love to read.
What would you do if you didn't have any books to read at home?
That would be sad.
Well, there are kids who don't have books at home, and even some kids who don't have a home to live in.
We can help some of these kids.
Listen up, LCUC. We can bring books to kids at the Hope Center in Waukesha who may not have books of their own. Starting today, there will be a box in the social hall where you can bring in children's books.
All the kids here today will be also taking boxes home and reaching out to family and friends to collect as many books as they can.
We'll bring them back in a month and just see how many books we've collected.
Let's get as many as we can.
Thank you, guys. Now John Stout has a few announcements.
Hi, I'm John Stout. I'm the church treasurer, and Reverend Jane asked me to make a brief announcement today. So I'll make a long one instead. To those who know me understand. Yes. Today, as some of you know, is Association Sunday, and Reverend Jane's going to be speaking today about, to some extent, about the Unitarian Universalist Association, the formation of it, and it's the national organization that we look to for support and that helps coordinate national efforts on behalf of UUs and provide connection with other UUs throughout the country. The UUA also helps support growth of congregations. In fact, it was their theme this year, Leap of Faith, ties in well with this church, especially because when we moved into this church just 4.5 years ago, into this building, that was done in part with help of a $25,000 grant from the UUA to help us grow our congregation to the larger size that's here today. This year, in that same direction, the UUA is seeking funds to help support growth pilot projects around the country in order to celebrate the anniversary of the 50th year of the UUA's existence. So if you are able and wish to support this effort, you can turn in a contribution today or designate part of your contribution in the memo line to go towards the UUA Association Sunday. And if you're like me and you left your checkbook at home, we'll even let you bring in a donation next week for them. So you can either just write a designation on the envelope or in the memo field of your check. And if there are any questions, you can see me after the service. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can also send it in directly to the UUA.
And now, Al has a couple of brief announcements he would like to share.
In your order of service, LCUUC overs, unders, soccer game, we'll be using a larger ball. The date is wrong. It's the 24th. This is my annual appeal to overs. There's no way we can beat the unders. Unless... and I think this is within the rules, we play 11 goalkeepers. Now, to do that, we have to have some semblance of fielding a team, so having more than 11 probably makes a lot of sense. Numbers, olders, numbers. And ibuprofen. Also, sign-up sheets in the social hall. Go ahead and do that. That'd be great. You guys got an email from me regarding a survey. I forgot to bring copies. If you're having difficulty completing that online, I'll have copies here at the church. The idea is we want to kind of reach out to you guys and get an understanding, maybe a better direction in terms of how we put forward our publicity efforts. So as you go through that survey, you'll get some ideas what we're heading towards. Thanks.
Thank you, Al. The last announcement. Immediately following the service, we're going to have a dedication ceremony for our commemorative garden outside. I encourage everybody to come out there and be involved in that. And I invite you to greet those sitting around you. I did. I held that up. Yeah, I opened with that one. And then I held it up and then went to Suic. I think I got it, unless I'm hallucinating. Visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Encourage you to sign the guest ledger in the foyer, and there's a variety of information on the table out there about our church and our religion. Please help yourself to any that interests you. I'll be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church, or if you've been visiting for a while and would like information on becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk with you. If you are visiting us with children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until the offertory, at which time they will leave for religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join in the classes or remain in the service. If you would like to go along and observe your child's class, please do so. And if any members have... the nursery is just outside the doors to my right and across the entryway. If there is any need for child care during the service... if you have any questions about the book drive, our Director of Religious Education, Carrie Duma, will be available after to answer any of your questions. And we always enjoy getting to know our guests, and if any members have brought guests today, we'd be pleased if you would introduce them, or if any guests have brought themselves, feel comfortable doing so, they could introduce themselves at this time. And everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation, immediately following the commemorative garden dedication, of course. And the conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. We encourage you to please put your cell phones on the silence mode during the service. And I hope you'll find this morning service inspiring, worthwhile, fulfilling. It'll be given to us by our own minister, Reverend Jane Espenson. Our collection for the food pantry that I mentioned earlier, and you can make checks out to LCUUC with food pantry in the memo line or write it on an envelope.
Our opening words this morning are by Kenneth Patton. This house is for the ingathering of nature and of human nature. It is a house of friendships, a haven in trouble, an open room for the encouragement of our struggle. It is a house of freedom, guarding the dignity and worth of every person. It offers a platform for the free voice, for declaring, both in times of security and in danger, the full and undivided conflict of opinion. It is a house of prophecy, outrunning times past and times present in visions of growth and progress. This house is a cradle for our dreams, the workshop of our common endeavor. Please join now in the chalice lighting. Oh.
Our choir wants to sing today.
Oh. We'll light that lamp. Now the choir is going to sing the prelude. And now we'll light the chalice, which is keeping our lamp burning. This is a sung chalice lighting in this congregation, and the melody is number 372 in your gray hymnals. This is so interesting. I'm Jane Esbenson. I don't know if I introduced myself here. Is this the right church? I think that we're now going to have the story for all ages. But maybe the choir is going to help kind of sing that in the background. Okay. It would be lovely. It would be very lovely. Okay, did you want me to hold the mic for you? Okay, all right. So this is the time for the story for all ages. So all of the children are invited to come up and to sit here, and Diane is going to read the story, and Jerry is going to hold the mic. And everybody is invited to come up so you can hear this story, which has to do with what we're going to be talking about today to the adults.
Okay. This is called Making Promises, Making Covenants by Janine K. Grossmeyer. Do you remember your first day of school? I remember mine. Your parents and grandparents probably remember their first days too. Probably everyone remembers, no matter how long ago it was. Going to a new place and starting something new can be exciting and sometimes a little scary. We have a lot of questions. Where do I sit? What time do we eat? Where is the bathroom? Am I allowed to climb the trees? Does the teacher expect me to do homework? And of course, when can we go outside to play? At school, the teacher shows us where things are and explains how things work. She tells us the rules. Once we know what we are expected to do and what we are allowed to do, it's not so scary anymore. Sometimes, though, there is no teacher. On the playground, it's just kids. Sometimes we make up our own game and we decide how it ought to be played. Sometimes we make the rules. On the jungle gym, we may decide that the red bars are fire and you can't touch them when you climb. When we play tag, we can decide that the person who is it has to count to 10 before they start chasing everybody else. It can be a lot of fun to make up the rules to your very own game. You get to make it just the way you like it. That is, if the other kids agree. But what if you think the red bars on the jungle gym are fire and can't be touched, but another kid says that the red bars are fine and you can touch them however you want? There are a lot of different ways to play a game. And if you don't want to play all by yourself, and you can't play tag by yourself, then everybody has to agree on what the rules are while you are playing. Maybe you can keep all the rules, or maybe you can change some. Somehow, some way, after discussing and changing and arguing and compromising, everybody agrees on what the rules should be. Maybe you don't like one of the other kids' rules all that much. And maybe someone else doesn't like your rules all that much. But you both agreed to let them anyway, because you got some rules you liked, and so did the other person. Then, finally, everyone promises to each other to follow the rules with no cheating, and we can play the game. When we agree to follow the rules we make together, we are covenanting with each other. A covenant is a promise to each other about what we are going to do and how we are going to behave. We need a covenant to have fun playing a game. Covenants are not only for the playground. They can be made by people in families and by students and teachers in schools. They can be made in religions too. Our Unitarian Universalist religion has a covenant. Our UU covenant was made about 50 years ago when your parents and grandparents were young. Back then there weren't any Unitarian Universalists. There were Unitarians and there were Universalists. Two different religions, with different names, different buildings, different songs, and with different rules. The Unitarians and the Universalists had been talking to each other for a very long time, learning about each other. And what they realized was that even though they had different rules for how they did things, they also saw that they agreed on many important ideas, many principles of life. Just like the kids on the playground, they had different rules. But they wanted to play the same game. So in 1960, they decided to play together. They knew they needed to figure out new rules that all the Unitarians and all the Universalists would agree to follow. It took them almost a year to do this. After discussing and changing and arguing and compromising for months and months, the Unitarians and the Universalists from hundreds of different congregations agreed on six principles, six rules, that they could all agree to follow. It's true that one person might not have liked another person's ideas for rules all that much, and maybe that person didn't like the first person's rules all that much, but they agreed to follow them anyway because they knew they both got a lot of the rules they wanted. And agreeing with the rules meant that they got to play together. They compromised. And then they covenanted. They promised they would agree to the same rules, and in doing this, they decided to play the same game. 25 years later, in 1985, they added one more principle to make it seven. You may already have heard of the seven principles. These are the rules that Unitarian Universalists agree to follow. Number one, each person is important. Number two, be kind in all that you do. Number three, we're free to learn together. Number four, we search for what is true. Number five, all people need a voice. Number six, build a fair and peaceful world. Number seven, we care for Earth's lifeboat. When we promise to each other to follow the rules we make, we are covenanting with each other. Just like the kids on the playground playing tag. Just like the Unitarians and the Universalists did 50 years ago. And when a few people a few years ago decided that they wanted to have a Unitarian Universalist church in this area of Wisconsin, they also had to get together and come up with rules to agree to and to follow, just like the Unitarians and the Universalists needed to do 50 years ago. And they made this church, Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. What do you think about that? Now, do any of you kids have an idea of what you do together at the LCUUC? Do you see how the rules work? Do you have any ideas? Do you?
We all learn together. No one is the same.
We all work together.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for that story. This is the time now for our first hymn of the morning. It is number 287, Faith of the Larger Liberty, and it's in your hymnal. And please rise and stand if you are willing and able. This is the time in our service where we take the offertory. And the offering this morning is a reminder of who we are and why we sit in these pews. If you are proud of this church, become its advocate. If you are concerned for its future, share its message. If its values resonate deep within you, give it a measure of your devotion. This church cannot survive without your faith, without your confidence, and without your enthusiasm. Its destiny, the larger hope, rests entirely in your hands.
A reading by A. Powell Davies. A. Powell Davies was a senior member of All Souls Church in Washington, D.C. after World War II. Davies, a powerful author, was the founder of 13 churches in the area. In a sermon he once preached, "Do you belong to a religion that says humankind is not divided, except by ignorance and prejudice and hate? The religion that sees humankind as naturally one and waiting to be spiritually united. The religion that proclaims an end to all exclusions and declares a brotherhood and sisterhood unbounded. That religion that knows we shall never find the fullness of the wonder and the glory of life until we are ready to share it. That we shall never have hearts big enough for the love of God until we have made them big enough for the worldwide love of one another. As you have listened to me, have you thought perchance that this is your religion? If so, do not congratulate yourself. Stop long enough to recollect the miseries of the world in which you live, the fearful cruelties, the enmities, the hate, the bitter prejudices, the need for such a world, for such a faith. And if you can still say that this of which I have spoken is your faith, then ask yourself this question: what are you doing with it?" Davies asked this question in the 1950s, and it is even more urgent today. What are we doing with our faith? Not nearly enough. Lost UU churches serve educated, middle-class, relatively affluent white people. Is this our only calling? I yearn for that, for the day that our churches will boldly reclaim a heritage of faithfulness and service. We must do this to survive as a religious movement.
We will now take a moment for the joys and concerns that we have to share here this morning. And the way that this congregation works is if you have a joy or a concern, you simply raise your hand and somebody will come by with a microphone and we will light a candle as you speak your words.
I have a joy because me and my friend Rhiannon are going to Indian summer later today.
My name is Lynn, and a candle of joy. I had the pleasure of going out to the East Coast and visiting 25 Beacon Street, which is the headquarters of the UUA. We got a tour, and everywhere we went, we saw UU churches and learned about our history, and really proud to be, you know, having those who helped serve in the American Revolution and made such a difference for the country. And 25 Beacon Street is right next to the state building there, and they get very involved out there with social justice. But anyway, they send their best to our congregation. They were very interested in hearing our story.
I have a joy. Sammy and I got occupancy permit for her addition onto my house. Now if I can just get her to move into it.
Hi, I'm Stacy. A candle of concern for Jeff Littman and his family and friends as he's in Brainerd Hospital after a severe bike car accident on Friday in Neshota.
And my name is Tom. And I have a candle of joy because it's been a month since my bicycle accident. And I'm healed, and I rebuilt my bike, and I'm riding again last week. So.
My name is Esther, and we have a daughter, Polly, who suffers from depression, and this week she hit bottom. And not realizing how awful this affects her family and her son. So she seems to be a little better again. So
and a final candle for the joys and concerns we
then we'll light this final one for the wars and devastation, traumas, tragedies that are among us in this county and in the world. This is now a time for meditation, reflection, and prayer. And I will lead you into that with a few thoughts. We join now together in a time of meditation or prayer, spoken at first and then for a time in the peace that silence brings. As we enter into silence, we remember the many connections that sustain and uplift us through this religious community. We remember those who preceded us, whose contributions built a free faith, who built this home for its practice. We remember those around us whose continuing care in thought and deed is an ongoing blessing in our lives, keeping the dream of free religion alive in our time when it is so sorely needed. We remember those who will follow us, the children presently in our care, and those not yet come to light, who will inherit the work of our hands and hearts. In the silence now, we sit surrounded by these many connections, visible and invisible, that remind us every day that we are not alone. This is number 300 in your gray hymnal, and it is entitled With Heart and Mind.
Thank you.
Just a note before I begin, just so you're not shocked afterwards, but there will be no polylog today. This is a special service. There is a special presentation after the sermon, and then we will sing our final hymn and have closing words, and then we will go right outside to the commemorative garden and do a dedication. This is Association Sunday, and it is entitled A Leap of Faith. Today is Association Sunday. Not only here, but across the country, congregations are thinking about these things, remembering our past, considering our present, imagining our future. Our Universalist ancestor, L.B. Fisher, was once asked where Universalists stood on some contentious point of theology, and he famously replied, "We do not stand, we move." Eric Walker Wickstrom has submitted one of his sermons as a stepping-off place for us today, and so I draw from his sermon as I contemplate what this day means for us. He writes, "For some time now, our association has been engaged in an effort to overcome the assumption by many, when they first discover us, that we're some sort of a new phenomena. No way, we say. We've been around for a long time. And we point to our storied heretical history, noting our transcendentalist ancestors in the 19th century and our presence in colonial America. And we point even further back to our heritage in Europe, to David Farrange and to King John Sigismund and to the Act of Religious Tolerance and the Freedom of Conscience of 1563 in Transylvania. We can cite all of these things. Some even go so far as to bring up Arius in the second century as the first Unitarian Christian, after perhaps Jesus himself, of course. And of course, Universalism also has a deep and rich history. Many scholars believing it to be the most common interpretation of Christianity prior to the 6th century, and pointing to, for instance, the Alexandrian school of the 1st century as its most prime example. So we have spent considerable time and effort attempting to solidify our bona fides as a religious movement, that we've been in the game for quite a while, we want people to know. And yet here we are today excitedly celebrating our 50th anniversary. 50. 50. Not a very long time at all. So how does this celebration jive with our supposed long tradition? It is because today we are not celebrating Unitarianism and Universalism. We are celebrating Unitarian Universalism. Unitarianism has been around a long time, and so has Universalism. But Unitarian Universalism has only been around for 50 years. What we're celebrating today is the coming together of these two religions. What we're celebrating is the merger in 1961 of the American Unitarian Association and the Universalist Church of America into what we now call the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. 51 years ago, this association did not exist. There were two separate and distinct religious traditions. And as you can imagine, becoming one entity wasn't easy. It had been a process. In fact, the first discussion of merger between the Unitarians and the Universalists had occurred in a Unitarian convention back in the year 1865, 96 years earlier than the Unitarian Universalist Association actually came into being. So nobody can actually accuse us of rushing into anything. Unitarians and Universalists of that era were not entirely simpatico with one another. It was said at the time that there were Universalists who were afraid that the Unitarians were going to swallow them up with all of that intellectualism, and the Unitarians who were afraid that they were going to get heartburn from the spiritual Universalists. And while American Unitarianism and Universalism were not identical, their members were often found backing the same kind of liberal political views and social programs. And so they had already been in association since the 19th century, but it wasn't until 1961 that the Unitarians and the Universalists, two small, similar religious denominations, blended their resources and formed the Unitarian Universalist Association with its headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts. Our one association of congregations, the result of the merger of two denominations, one association, each with a long, deep, and rich history, with stories of women and men whose courage and commitment and conviction helped give shape to who they were, with prophetic visions of a future that was yet to be. And in this coming together, something new was born, related to, yet distinct from, the traditions that gave it birth. Modern Unitarian Universalism is not simply the continuation of its two predecessor movements pureed together. It is like red and blue coming together to create purple. What it was is still in there, but what it is now different. In this, it is not unlike other religious traditions that have developed over time. Christianity itself, for example, developed from its roots as a sect of Judaism. And note that I did not say it evolved, because that would imply that it was an improvement in some way. Rather, the two traditions coexisted for some time, each tradition developing along its own path, until eventually they separated when their differences became greater than their similarities. And it might be interesting to look back at Christianity around CE 50, CE meaning the Christian era. Paul left Antioch and begins his Aegis mission. His letters to these congregations are the earliest documents now contained in the New Testament. And this was the time of his first visit to Corinth, and he wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians. And 2 years later, in the common era of 52, Paul arrived in Ephesus and wrote a letter to the Galatians and his letter to the Corinthians. And 2 years later, in the year 48 of the common era, leaders of the Jesus movement gathered in Jerusalem for the so-called Council of Jerusalem to discuss the recent mission to the Gentiles. This was a crucial time for this fledgling movement, for until now their message had been shared most often with people more or less like each other, Jews who shared a religious and cultural context. But now this tradition of theirs, this new tradition they were forming, was attracting non-Jews, and a crucial question was being raised. Should these new converts have to first fulfill Jewish law? Circumcision, dietary rules, for example. Did they need to do this before they could join this new movement, or should they be allowed to join just as they were, carrying within themselves the beliefs that they came with? In essence, the question came down to this. As the movement grew, should the newcomers have to change to fit into the movement, or should the movement have to change to welcome the newcomers? Today, we find ourselves at a crossroads not at all dissimilar to the early Christians at the Council of Jerusalem. Looking ahead, we see a world that looks quite different than the one in which our association has grown, quite different than the one in which most of us were born into. And the word association is very important right here, so I want to just take a minute to explain this. In a denomination, the headquarters control the belief statements and the dictates outward to the individual churches and the members on the matters of the correct belief. In an association, the power remains within individual churches and within the individual believers. and the Boston office exists to provide such services as the member churches desire. There is far greater freedom of belief within an association than there is within a denomination. And so the Unitarian Universalist Association, at its best, exists to preserve and safeguard the kind of freedom which has marked Unitarianism from the start, and to keep open the many and growing alternative religious paths which our modern Universalists rightly expect. A freedom which we as member congregations must remember gives us the right, the responsibility to determine how we govern ourselves, how we want to present ourselves to the world, how we go about becoming a religious institution that meets our highest standards and goals. That not only speaks about being a welcoming congregation, for example, but one that shows itself by its actions to be a vibrant part of something called a welcoming movement. As Eric Wickstrom writes, by the year 2050, European Americans will no longer be the majority of the U.S. population. We will be a multicultural nation in a way our rhetoric has only hinted at before. And how will we respond to that? Will we require all newcomers to our faith to adopt the UU lifestyle and mold themselves to fit into the UU culture? And we might argue about some of the specifics, but we all probably have a good idea of what that looks like. Or are we going to allow this movement to change, to grow, to morph as it adapts itself to the newcomers that come into our doors, holding on to the heart of what makes us who we are as a religious people, yet allowing it to find ever new expressions in an ever-changing environment? And so I ask you, how does our call to social justice compel us to open our doors even wider than we have in the past and truly welcome all who seek this liberal, conscientious, rationally minded, spiritually inspired religion to become one that they can call their own as much as we are calling it ours? As Dana McLean McGreely, the first president of the UUA, wrote, liberal religion is a movement in history, a set of values, a way of life. More important than the merger of two denominations is the quickening of the principles for which they exist. We believe in change and growth. We must be honest enough to detect our weaknesses and brave enough to assert and to develop our strengths. If we have faith in the future, we must be convinced that our great heritage is insignificant in comparison with the role of liberal religion of tomorrow. Without vision, we would perish, and that role would be realized by others in our stead. But with vision and a commensurate commitment, our own efforts may prove worthy of the promise of yesterday. The world is still calling us, and a small group of people, a little more than a decade ago, heeded that call and decided that this part of Waukesha County needed a liberal religious home to call its own. And so began the journey toward becoming LCUUC, our church home now roundly situated here in the town of Merton on the corner of K and E, opening its doors wide to all who seek a place that provides comfort and companionship, strong conversations and honest disagreements, rolled-up sleeves for the work that needs to be done, and gentle Sunday morning gatherings for rest and renewal, contemplation and resolve, affection and laughter. Interestingly enough, this year's Association Sunday is called A Leap of Faith, focusing on growing by helping small congregations receive mentorships by larger congregations. And what is interesting about that is that this congregation, Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Congregate Church, did its own leap of faith when it decided to purchase this building a few years ago, believing that a building would give them the doors they needed to open in order to bring the world inside. In several years' time, this congregation has more than doubled its numbers and continues to grow in its determination to be a church for today and for the years ahead by focusing its energies outwardly to the needs of the world as much as it continues to keep its focus on the needs of the people who sit here in its pews. This is a church that not only took a leap of faith, but one that understood that this leap was the only way forward. And so it is. Right here is a picture that is normally hanging in the front foyer, a reminder to the leap of faith taken here at Lake Country UU Church. It's entitled A Leap of Faith, actually, and it was given to them, I believe, by one of their former ministers when they moved into this building. And it is in support of their leap of faith in buying the building, and it is an ongoing reminder to all who enter this church that we believe in the future and that we want to be a part of it. So I thought it was quite miraculous, if I'm able to use that word, that the Association Sunday this year was about a leap of faith, because we are in a time in this congregation this year of working on social justice issues outside in the world, as much as we're retaining and maintaining this place here, and we're going to be commemorating the garden after this service. In this year's Association Sunday, UUA President Peter Morales is asking us all to grow toward a multicultural future, to be the church of today, to put ourselves in the midst of local needs, to offer religious hospitality in name as well as in deed. And today at LCUUC, we are taking up this call in two specific ways. First of all, today is sharing the Ministry Sunday, where everyone who comes here is being asked to sign up for at least one way in which they can contribute to this church to keep its fires burning bright. And a listing of opportunities are on the table in the fellowship hall as well as back there. And secondly, in a few weeks, everyone who comes to this church, from the youngest child to the oldest adult, is going to be given the opportunity to sign up for at least one way in which they can contribute to someone else's life outside of these church walls, to keep someone else's heart and soul burning brightly. And a listing of those opportunities will be provided at that time. We are here today for a reason. We are here, sitting here in this lovely round church called LCUUC. We are here for each other, and we're here for the world. I end here with a quote by Eric Wickstrom. He writes, in his book Many Mansions, the Protestant theologian Harvey Cox wrote about the conversion in the late 1700s of Boston's King Chapel from Anglicanism to Unitarianism, saying, the Unitarians teach us something important about the future of religion, not by what they did, but by the courage and initiative they showed in daring to do it. We now have the chance to do that very same thing. Not to wait and see what religious forms will emerge in the next century, but to use our imagination to shape those things. We need to ask ourselves, who are we? What are we about? Why are we here? I ask all of us to please go forth and to shape our future. It is all one tangible, huge thing called a leap of faith. Thank you. Please join now in singing the final hymn of the morning, number 131, Love Will Guide Us. Please stand as you are able and willing.
Jesus, try us.
Religion calls us to do more than survive. It calls us to serve. May we find something worthy to serve. Unitarian Universalism is worthy to serve. May we serve its purpose, to create a more equitable, peaceful, and reasonable world. Whether there will be 50 more years of Unitarian Universalism depends upon how much we love it, its means, and its ends. Have we been, will we be generous and gracious and welcoming? Whether there will be 50 more years of Unitarian Universalism is up to us. May we grow in our faith in one another and do the good that the world so sorely needs. Thank you, and grab your coats and meet out in the garden.